Welcome to the Top Order Podcast. It is that time of the week again. It's IPL Power Rankings. How will the Lipshore Index fare this week as we rank our teams from 1 to 10? Spoiler alert, it is getting a little bit closer to the table as we approach six games roughly in for all of the teams. But who is going to top our power rankings? Will it be the same as the points table, the Rajasthan Royals, or will it be someone else? Lippy, it's over to you.
Well, yes, it is. So I guess you touched on it just before. It is starting to, the way things are shaping out, kind of end up, at least the top and the bottom are sort of shaping out how the table is. And I suppose that's natural to for that to happen. But I did give some serious, serious thought to bumping someone up to number one, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it with the Rajasthan Royals. You know, at 5-1, I think they've kind of earned the right to be number one.
Who would it have been that would have been at number one if you were messing with the cricketing gods and the algorithms?
So no, I guess not. It's not much of a spoiler alert, but CSK really, I think this has been a big, big week for them in terms of what they've done. So we'll get to them soon, but they were the team that I did think, geez, have they really just done so much that they've got so much momentum to go to number one? But yeah, like I said before, I just think I couldn't. It hasn't been a super convincing week for Rajasthan as well, which is sort of why I had some doubts about them. But, you know, they've got the money in the bank. They're 5-1. They've built up, you know, all this equity from the last few weeks. They're playing without Joss Butler in the last game. Nondre Berger was not there. Ravi Ashwin's not there. And they're still managing to kind of get a win. They did lose to Gujarat Titans in a game that, I mean, they should have had in the bag and then just scraped across the line against Punjab Kings. And I think for me, it's been the first week where I've started to have doubts about them, because when I look at their side, I think they're stacked up and down. They've got match winners with bat, with ball. They've been getting contribution, or sort of getting wins, like I said, without contributions from those guys who aren't there, but also from without, you know, without Jaiswal, who hasn't really got going in this tournament. But I started to think, like, are they the team that can beat themselves? Because I sort of think about last year.
Is that in the format this year? You have to play against yourself.
Well, they seem to be. That's what I'm starting to get worried about, because, like, I think back to last year and I go, okay, well, last year they were a side, again, they were coming off, last year they were coming off a finals appearance. We thought, you know, here we go, similar squad again, they'll do it again. And they just kind of never really got going. And it always looked like, here's a side that could flick the switch. You know, sports teams often talk about, okay, well, we'll flick the switch when it comes to finals time, but they never got to the finals because they just never flicked the switch. And now they just seem to be making some strange decisions on the face of it as well. And
I mean, how strange are we talking about here? Because they are 5-1, right? I haven't missed anything.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same thing, as I was sort of looking at the table and kind of going, what are you on?
Well, I guess, you know.
So talk us through the detail. Okay, yeah, into the detail.
Last week, I guess, or last time we talked, Bordy, we talked about that loss to Gujarat that they had. And, you know, you can point to a number of different things in that game. But I think that, you know, we thought that on that day they left Trent Bolt, you know, they left two overs of Trent Bolt on the table. They left two overs of Keshav Maharaj on the table in that game. In the last game against Punjab, which I think was a pretty bad game overall, a pretty bad advertisement for both sides in terms of the ability that they have, they were just cruising in that game. They should have not have even got close. But, you know, they put Cotian up to open, for example. I read the other day, he hasn't batted higher than 8 in a domestic T20 game, but suddenly he's opening. They sometimes put Ravi Ashwin in at 5 when they've got guys like Kettmeyer, guys like Rovman Powell, guys, you know, all these other players. Why are they complicating things? I just don't understand.
And on top of that, the one that's got me is, where is Nondre Berger?
Well, he's injured, I think.
Have they actually come out and say that? Because I haven't seen anywhere saying that he is injured.
I think that is the case. Again, I've been trying to get some proper answers on this.
Because Joss Butler was not 100%, so that doesn't sound like he's injured. It's kind of, you know.
Sounds like Ashwin and him were rested to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's fine. I think that's okay. Like, it's obviously a long tournament.
Come out and say that, I reckon.
Well, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it's a long tournament. I don't mind, you know, getting some other guys some minutes, that's sort of fine. But, yeah, it's these other decisions, and I just think...
Do you think those were matchup related? Because they obviously bowled, I think
Avish Khan, I think, was bowling at the death in that first game. And I think that was fair enough.
And Chahal as well, who went for tens, right, in that game. And look, the run rate was tens, but yeah, it's strange when you look at it at face value. You've got a guy that's gone for, I think Trent had gone for eight, hadn't he, in his first two overs or something like that, and then doesn't come back. Maharaj,
two overs for 16.
Yeah. Was that matchups focused, do you think? Do you think there's just a little bit too much from the analysts?
I'm just not sure. And I think, you know, Sanju Sampson said about the Koti indecision, he's saying that it was because they had an opener out and they have their lineup and they didn't want to disrupt that. And, you know, I kind of get that. But also, like, he didn't. It's sort of fair enough if you're like, okay, well, it's KKR and we're going to throw Sunil Narine up there, who, you know, this is not the greatest example because he's doing it every game, but he's up there to just whack it. You know, Cotien was up there and he batted at a run a ball for 30 balls and it put them in a situation where suddenly...
As soon as they started losing wickets, they were in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
But look, I don't know. I don't think it's a massive red flag for me. There are some strange things going on, but they're still 5-1. Ashwin Chahal still doing the job when they're playing, squeezing the middle as they need to. Bolt, that was a very curious decision to me. I think I texted you straight away going, why did he not bowl the two overs within their loss to Gujarat? And my performance of the week for Rajasthan was for Marianne Prague, 76 of 48 in that first game against Gujarat, was very, very good.
Yeah, I think it's exciting for Rajasthan. Yeah, as you say, I don't think it's not panic stations. They're certainly going well, and I think it's pretty exciting that Riyan Parag is becoming, you know, a consistent performer for them. So yeah, look, not panic stations, but just a bit of doubt, which I haven't had up until this point.
Is there any thought to, and we want to move on from this team, obviously, because we've talked about them quite a bit, but is there any thought to these guys are just leaving no stone unturned because last year they couldn't flick the switch? They maybe didn't know what was going to work for them in those different matchup situations. Maybe this is just a team going, okay, we've got some wiggle room now that we can experiment against. No disrespect to Punjab, but we can experiment against Punjab and maybe still
disrespect to Punjab
and still win that game. We still expect to win, even if we try something different. Maybe that's the mindset that they're in at the moment.
And I think coming into the fixture, because they play KKR next, I think it's kind of almost a free hit for them to an extent. You think they're going to go through, right? Unless there's something catastrophic happens. So. And, you know, you'd think at the moment as well, KKR, I'm sure we'll come on to that, you know, they're almost through. Before we come on to who's second in the power rankings, and you've given a pretty good clue as to who it might be, or you might disappoint the MS Dhoni fans, I'm sure. What do we think you need as a record to get into the semis at the moment? So, we've talked about Rajasthan sitting at 6-5. We'll talk about the Knight Riders at 5-4, Chennai at 6-4, Sunrisers at 5-3. But where do we think that line is, Raj? I know you keep a keen view on that. You're now going to disappoint me by saying you don't.
Well, Baldy and I were looking at this the last couple of weeks, and I think it's.
Thanks for throwing that to me.
This week it's not in the prep.
Yeah, it's because you've confused Raj and I again. I know it's easy to do.
I think we're looking at eight, aren't we? Eight wins out of 14 is
minimum.
Kind of what we're. Well, yeah, I think you eight will get you in this year because of the way that the top is extending itself out. Pushing out from this middle pack.
So eight wins, right.
We also haven't seen any rain yet as well. So.
Yeah.
And so who's second on the power rankings and why?
Well, for the same reason it's KKR, because I just think that they've built up enough money in the bank that they deserve to still be here. Same
allies on the fritz, I think.
Same reason. I just think that, CSK were very, very close to kind of pushing ahead of these guys, but you know, these guys have only lost one game. And they were beaten convincingly by CSK in that first game, but then they bounced back with a really convincing win of their own against LSG. And the thing that I just keep being amazed by with these guys is that they just put the foot down and they don't take it off the gas for the whole game.
Can I throw a stat in there to and? Kolkata's net run rate now through five games is plus 1.688. The other four teams in the top four, five combined is 1.8. So like they're by themselves, they are almost as dominant from a net run rate perspective as the other four teams with positive win-loss records at the moment, which is bizarre, right? Yeah. And you talk about them as, you know, is CSK ahead of them? It, you know, Are they even close? I don't think in your mind, are they even close to Rajasthan in terms of, you know, having eyes to top spot? Because, again, they've only lost, what, one game?
KKR?
Yeah.
I still have doubts about KKR as a unit, but I'm super, super impressed by what they've done because they know who they are. And I feel really confident that they feel like this is how we're going to play. Mm. You know, there's no Brendan McCullum there anymore, but they... You know, they are the most baseball team out there in terms of...
You do well to get a New Zealand reference into everything you do, don't you?
Well, look, I thought it was going to be an English reference with your baseball talk. But, look, the fact that they just know who they are, okay? And Rajasthan, we just talked about, I think they're kind of a bit confused about who they are, even though they've got, I think, on paper, more talent than CSK. But, yeah, CSK, I mean, you know, you look at Phil Salt, the way he went today...
Yeah,
it's been so impressive.
I mean, we talked in the preview show, and I would like to point out that I thought Phil Salt would have a good tournament, and he has. And what's I think probably maybe surprised a few people is that the top of the order is where they've found a lot of that firepower. Naren has gone really, really well. I think if you look at the run tallies, I think Salt and Naren are the top two KKR players on the runs chart.
Interestingly enough, though, I think Salt is at 14. Or, no, he's 12th, sorry. They've got no one in the top 10, though they've been powering through these rounds.
No one in the top 10, but I think what the point I was going to make is I think you'd looked at, you know, Andre Russell, Rinku Singh, maybe Shreyas Iyer. That kind of middle order has been where you would see a lot of the pyrotechnics and the fireworks for them. And we've seen a little bit of it. We've seen Dre Russ get going once. I think we've seen Shreyas Iyer get going once. We've seen Rinku get going a couple of times. So if you kind of look at where they're, you know, where their strengths are, they've actually had the whole batting order at times firing, but the top of the order particularly impressive. Mm. I mean, if they can maintain that now for... the rest of the tournament, you're going to be worried about them, I think, and worried about their batting firepower.
I think it's really telling how they really got punished against a good bowling lineup when they came up against TSK earlier this week. Mm. It's the first time they've come up against probably, you know, a very, very good bowling attack, bowling unit. And they really struggled to get anywhere with the bat in that game. I actually like Shreyas Iyer's contributions over these two games. He's almost been a runner ball, 30s in them, but he's adapted to the situation. Maybe in the first game he could have exploded a little bit more, but he got no support at all in that first game. From a bowling perspective, Mitchell Starc bowled well in that first game as well without any returns, but I thought he was devastating in the second game. And seeing their bowling come back to the fore has actually got to be a really positive sign for them.
Huge for them, because we've talked about their lack of depth as far as strike bowling is concerned. They need Mitchell Starc to bowl well. I mean, they don't need him to bowl well to win their first four games, but they need him to bowl well if they're going to be making noise in the finals. And just having a look at that scorecard against LSG, I mean, you know, 3 for 28 offers four overs really sets the tone. And as we said earlier, you know, sometimes it's not how many you get, but it's who you get. And Mitchell Starc, if he's able to take wickets early in the power play, he can put teams in you know, big arrears in that first six overs.
And I don't know if he's done this all tournament, but I know in that game he actually bowled the three in the power play. His first three he bowled in the power play, and then he came back for the last one. I really like that. And there's other bowlers in this tournament like Trent Bolt who could really benefit of just bowling the majority of their overs first up.
100%. And he did that, Bolt, in the last game. Bowled the first, the third, the fifth, and then the 20th over. And I think that's a much better, certainly if they're bowling first, that's a much better, going back to New Zealand again, but much better sort of format for that. Binksy, before we leave KKR, the one thing I wanted to ask you is that last week you kind of jokingly said you weren't sure about, you know, Rajasthan and KKR kind of staying at the top. Was that because, you know, you're just playing down your preseason picks, or do you actually kind of see some weaknesses in KKR?
Yeah, look, again, it's interesting you pointed out where Naren and Salt, you know, sat in their sort of batting list. And then when you look at the bowling list, I think Jai Russ is, you know, top of the bowlers for them, and he's way down. So it's one of those things you kind of just look at them and they are, you know, they are finding, you know, odd performances from a number of people in their team. And I think, let's be honest, that's probably what you need through a, 14-game round robin stage. But they've got one foot now into the final four, you would have thought. It's just for me, whether they can keep some of those guys, you know, fit. We've seen, you know, injury worries for the likes of Dre Russ. We've got Naren, who's getting on a little bit and has had a few niggles as well. So I think it's about keeping the nucleus of that side fit all the way through the tournament. And maybe, you know, we were talking about Rajasthan, did they rest Butler and Ashwin? Or were they, you know, did they really have sort of injury worries? Yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether KKR take the approach of keeping those guys on the park if they're going well, or whether they say, yeah, look, let's get some ice baths and maybe, you know, you stick around here and don't take a domestic flight somewhere and, you know, get a bit of R&R and, you know, some hot, cold swimming pools or whatever they do, nowadays. Should we move on to number three?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
It's finally that time.
It's finally that time. You want to talk a little bit of MSD?
Oh, well, let's talk about CSK in general, but we will get to MSD because, yeah, the case for him not being utilised enough certainly was made today when he came in and demolished Hardik Pandya. But
can we demolish someone in four ball?
Can we just have a bit of real talk here on the pod? I know you're a big fan of real talk, Raj. Genuine question. Sorry. Is it?
Yeah.
By you or by me. Okay. Yeah, I think you're going to have some issues with some people who live in the States, but we'll move swiftly on from that. So intellectual property aside, genuine question. Are you just talking up Mahendra Singh Dhoni because you just love seeing him hit sixes so much, or are you actually expecting him to have a bigger role here? Because I've got some questions if you do.
Well, the thing is that he is making a serious impact down the order.
Absolutely.
And every single ball he comes in, every single ball he seems to face, half of them go over the rope for six. So, you know, I do genuinely think that it's a little bit joking saying maybe he should go up and open, although, you know, what they did in this game, certainly in the last game, they're obviously looking at Gaikwad maybe batting at three because he did a fantastic job in this game.
Mm.
But genuinely, if Dhoni, I don't think Dhoni should be thinking it's, I don't want to bat. Like sometimes it seems like the ideal scenario for him is I stand behind the stumps and I don't come in and bat. I don't have to, you know? He should be thinking, I am a serious finisher for this team and I'm going to come in every single game where I can and put the icing on the cake exactly like he did today.
I'm so glad you phrased it that way because I think that is the best role for MS Dhoni in the CSK side. I think he has been so effective in facing a small number of balls and, as you say, hitting all of them out of the park that the temptation is, well, if he faces 30 balls, could he get 80 or 90 runs? And I don't think his game, with all due respect to Mahendra Singh Dhoni, at his age is going to extend to 80 off of 30 because I think from a physical fitness standpoint, from a running between wickets standpoint, he's going to hit lots and lots of maximums, but are you going to miss runs between the wickets?
He's not hitting a lot of singles.
So that's the real question I had from the way that you were phrasing it. And I'm so glad you said the impact that he's having is huge. And I think they've not stumbled on, because he is a tactical genius. They have got the right formula for him at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's batted at different parts in the order. So I think he's decided he's coming in to provide that, injection of something. And I probably would say it's not necessarily the cherry on the cake or the icing on the cake, but it's that luxury ingredient at the time where it makes the most difference in the recipe.
Mm. And truffle oil.
Yeah, a bit of truffle oil. And sometimes, you know, there's some things that you put on at the end as a garnish, and there's some things that if you don't put them on as a garnish, you know, they get lost in the rest of the batter. So, look, I think I've tried to extend that analogy much as I can, but I think he's picked, when he's going to give that injection of flavour. And if we look at this game against the Mumbai Indians, that was the difference.
Yeah.
You know, Rohit Sharma, and we might come on to the pace of his innings because I know we've talked a lot about how many runs you need to score, and that was definitely you that was talking about how many runs you need to score, how many balls. But he didn't get the help from Tim David. He didn't get the help from Romario Shepherd. Mm. He didn't get the help from Pandya to really find that, you know, that injection of 20 runs, and that was the difference. So yeah, I agree with Baldy. I think he's, you know, he's not going to score 80 off 30, and if he is, he's going to be gassed and he might not be able to keep wicket or play in the next game.
He might not score 80 off 30, you know, I understand that, but he could score 50 off 20.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see him betting.
Fair enough.
I'd love to see him betting, you know, that sort of six over period at the end. Yeah. 8 to 6 over I have no problem with. 8 might be too much of an extension. I understand that. But he has just looked absolutely devastating when he has batted. Mm, yep. I do like how he promoted himself to 5 when they needed like 2 runs to win against KKR earlier this week. But what if all MS Dhoni chat aside, I'd love to talk about the bowling. of CSK, because they look like a completely different team when you've got the Fizz, you've got Thikshana or Patirana back in the side. They just look a completely different side to the side we've talked about over the last 2 weeks, which have stumbled a little bit with the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said it before. I think this has been a statement week for them. I mean, last week we were here sitting going, okay, well, Musa Fez has gone back to Bangladesh to sort out his visa. Patirana's got a bit of an injury. What's that going to mean for their side? And I think, fortunately for them, those guys didn't miss many games. Patirana missed two. I think Deepak Chahar's missed a couple. And Mustafiza maybe missed one, or maybe didn't even miss any. I can't actually remember. But yeah, maybe he missed one. But look, getting those guys back, suddenly their whole unit looks really good. And the coaching staff actually made a real point today of pointing out or praising Deshpande and also Shardul Thakur for the way that those two chipped in as well. And, you know, last week or in midweek ball there, we talked about their spin with Jadeja and the impact that he's having. So, yeah, look, I mean, they just feel like, a complete side when they're going around things. And, I mean, Baldy, the main reason, again, I thought it was a statement week. One, they've beaten KKR. Then they've beaten this Mumbai side that it seemed like we're getting some momentum.
Yep.
But they've also won away from home, because pointed out how important they've been winning at home, losing it away from home, and all the home games have been so crucial in this tournament so far. They go to Mumbai and they win.
Yeah, looking a layer deeper than the scorecards and the wins and losses, CSK have had a massive week because they've beaten two finals contender sides away from home. And that's huge for their record, but it also really hurts those other sides because they've lost one home game, and we've seen how dominant home sides have been. I'm loving the contributions. We talked about KKR getting contributions all up and down their batting order. CSK are getting contributions from all of their bowlers at the moment. Thursday last week, we were praising Deshpande. He got four for. Now Patirana comes back in. He gets four for against Mumbai. It's funny that this bowling attack looks great, even though they conceded 186 against Mumbai. Mm. You know what I mean? You feel like even with that scorecard, they've done a fantastic job there to hold Mumbai to that score, particularly holding Rohit to only 105, where it could have been a lot more potentially. So, yeah, this team has the bowling attack that's similar to KKR's batting, similarity of contribution.
Yeah, I guess from a momentum perspective as well, they'll just be good that they don't play again for another 5 days. Mm. They would want that sort of momentum maybe to have a couple of games that are a little bit closer together.
They've got LSG twice in a row. So there's actually quite the way the draw's played out this year, there seems to be quite a few sort of back-to-back. You play each side home and away. So it'll be interesting because, I mean, if you think about the table at the moment, CSK has a real opportunity. Well, I guess LSG has as well, to make a dent on another team's season by going back to back and beating them. So yeah, look, they'll be super stoked with the way things have gone, and I think the captain Gaikwad probably more than anyone will be so thrilled with how today overnight went for them in terms of the contribution that he's had, because he's had a bit of stick about going slow. We talked about it, Baldy and I talked about how he got runs in midweek and, still didn't need to go fast in that game, but brought himself down to three and made a real impact.
Yeah, had a net.
Had a net and then, made a real impact in the way he went about things today.
Speaking of having a net, I just wanted to talk about Ruchin really quickly. In that first game, when they were chasing 136 against against KKR.
Yeah.
He came out, they were going at 10s. Already in the second or third over, and he just put one straight down long on throw. Mm. When we look back and we're talking about, the maturity of the innings, people like Aidan Markram, we were talking about him last week. Yeah. I think he really missed a trick there, and that's the sort of criticism that we've talked about, especially in international 2020. The guy's just winning the game is not the important part. It's the I've got to smack it and go at 200 strike rate.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do that. He could have easily helped guide the team home, had a net, as we've just talked about, and got himself into some form, faced some balls out in the middle, but he didn't do that. So just a bit of criticism from me for Ruchin.
I think it's really important for Ruchin to take advantage of those opportunities in this IPL because teams are starting to figure out that they can't bowl into his body and that they've got to bowl wide of off stump to him. So those kinds of opportunities, whereas only, he's chasing 137 and he's got an opportunity that he can take five or six balls out there to try and figure out in real time what that opportunity looks like for him. They're huge learning opportunities. If he's going to take advantage of them, he could grow even against what teams are targeting as a perceived weakness at the moment.
I think that's it on CSK. Let's move on. Have we got a three-letter team acronym coming up next, or a two-letter?
Three-letter again. And this one might be a bit quicker because they only played once this week, and we've gone a little bit longer on some of these other teams. And, you know, this is the Sunrisers in it for. And, yeah, they played against Punjab. It was a game. I think they had a game under control quite for most of that game, but Punjab Kings just only play last over games. That's kind of how they roll. So, you know, Sunrisers, they're here because they're still just tracking nicely, I think. And what I've liked in the last couple of games and last couple of weeks, I suppose, is that their bowlers are starting to get a bit of momentum. It feels like Unadkat and Natarajan. They're, you know, Cummins actually almost has been the most impressive for me. I really feel like he's been able to kind of get a handle on the pitches that he's been playing against or playing on, and you know, really managing the kind of deliveries he needs to bowl in those areas. So yeah, I've been super impressed with them. The only question I really have is are their batters starting to, like at the start of the tournament, their batters were just on an absolute tear. Heinrich Klassen was smashing it all over the place. They scored 277, broke the record. And now the last few games, even though they have been winning them, they sort of, you know, you look at their scores and it's 162, 166, although, you know, fairness, that was 18 overs to beat CSK. But the next game, 182 against Punjab Kings. I'm not especially alarmed. Like, a lot of people are contributing. You know, I'll be stoked. They got contribution from Nitish Kumar Reddy. No relation? No relation?
Not this time.
But Abdul Samad chipping in, but no one, again, like we talked about the top run scoring charts. I think Klassen is the top run scorer, and he's 14th down on the actual, you know, total run scorers in the tournament. So they don't have those standout batters. And I think for them, if you're a fan of the Sunrisers, you want someone to now get some consistency and start putting some scores back to back.
Yeah, I guess they've been utilising the impact player to elongate that batting lineup at times. You've seen Travis Head come out a couple of times. I think in that, you know, the last game, I think, who did we see
come in? He's been impact quite a bit.
Yeah, actually, I think we've seen Tripathi come in. Yeah. So I think, you know, we talked where Klassen should bat. And realistically, they've made that choice that he is best in that role with, you know, as Raj would say, probably eight overs would be his sort of optimum time to be coming in. So, I think I've got less worries because I think they've got the game plan for how they want to play that. And whether or not we agree with the batting order, potentially, they've had contributions from Markram, from Klassen and others. And we've not really seen Head get going massively throughout the course of this tournament. No. At some point, you would think, they'll stick with him, and we've had conversations about this with other overseas batters, haven't we? Mm-hmm. And then the week after recording that, you know, they stick 100 up, so we can potentially expect that from Travis. Yeah, from Travis.
Great opportunity tonight against that RCB attack.
Yeah, look, absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, just picking up on that, they've got a huge opportunity to make a run. We talk about runs being super important in the IPL and momentum through, you know, slates of games. They've got 3 games in 10 days. They've got RCB tonight on the 16th. They've got Delhi Capitals on the 21st and then RCB again on the 26th. So they've got three games against two teams at the bottom of the table at the moment. On paper, you would expect Sunrisers now in this vein of form to win all three of those games, which would put them on 8, 10, 12 points, you know, three quarters of the way through or two thirds of the way through the tournament, or just over halfway actually, Baldy. Come on, do some maths. But that puts them in a great position. If they can go 3-0 in the next 10 days, they can put themselves up there in the tippity top, particularly if CSK can do Lucknow twice. That separates the top gap, four.
Yeah.
Hard week to judge the Sunrisers on the week they played. I think both teams probably scored 25 to 30 runs more than they should have in the batting innings that they played. Talked about the bowling. I think that Patrick Cummins was very, very good. Bhuvaneshwar Kumar and Natarajan, I think that they are definitely coming into their own from what we've seen over the first couple of weeks. But it was actually a very tricky pitch to bat on, and that 62 from Nitish Reddy was, don't discount that. That was a very, very good innings on, awesome. On a difficult pitch to bat. But hard week to actually judge them, but they're very up and down. You look at the teams that they've beaten, Mumbai, CSK, but they've lost to Gujarat and KKR. You can't really judge them to where they are, but I'm sure we'll find out over the next few weeks.
Last point on them. Last week we talked a little bit about Hasaranga and who might replace him. They've actually brought in a young Sri Lankan leg spinner, Vyaskanth. I don't know very much about him. Played one T20 for Sri Lanka, but I'm excited. I would love to see him get a go. You know, I'm always love to see a new spinner get a chance. Again, we've talked about this, Sunrisers, the overseas depth that they have. So it feels unlikely that he's going to get a run, but I like that they have at least brought in a spinner. That's what we wanted. We wanted them to have another spin option, so they have done that. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, and they haven't been bowling a lot of spin of late. So as the pitches get, we think that they'll get lower and slower. Spin becomes more of a factor in the back half of the tournament. That vaunted pace lineup is going to need some help in the back end of this tournament. So Sunrisers got to make hay while the sun is shining, and they can get something out of their pace bowlers at the moment.
Lippy, who are we on to next? This is where you start to upset the table a little bit, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's where I'm having the most difficulty kind of figuring out who's actually good and who's not. This middle of the pack, these teams that we're going to start to go through now, it's, you know, this team in particular, I was out. I was out on this team. I you know, I said last week, Gujarat, I had them down at number 8 on our list. I was very low on them. I'm still... feel concerned about their batting. I look at their batting lineup and think, is Shubman Gill good enough to, on his own, get this to, you know, this, maybe that's not fair, but, you know, somewhat on his own, carry this team to the finals? And look, maybe he is, because what, he scored 900 runs or something last IPL, or 800 or 900. He scored a serious amount of runs last year. You know, he's contributed again so far in this tournament. But, you know, they just keep kind of winning these games. They just had no right to win that game against Rajasthan this week. I just, you know, and that would have been, they lose that game and I think they're in serious trouble. They'd thrown away a win against Punjab. They'd been completely skittled by LSG. I don't know. You guys tell me where you guys are at with them, because I was out and now I'm sort of like, well, they kind of just have to keep being in the mix here until they are out, because they keep finding a way to come back, and they've done that for their whole existence.
Yeah, again, another team that's been very inconsistent with the performances on the field, but also the players that they're able to select. I think they look like a completely different team when David Miller is in the side. I think you mentioned that last week. Mm. Baldy, they really do look like a different team. Guys like Wade coming into the team, so he played and he batted at 3, so I'm interested to know what you think about that role. Don't think that's one he's played very often. He's more of a finisher and definitely has had more success as a finisher of late. And then you've got Rashid Khan, who's had a pretty, you know, ho-hum tournament, but it's went back to vintage sport form this week, 18 or 4. He looked very hard to play.
And runs as well.
Very important runs. But I also cannot get a very good read on them, but I think it's also, you know, you have to have that inconsistency around who they've got available. Mm. Kane Williamson, unfortunately, I don't feel like he really fits in this lineup anywhere at the moment.
He's too similar to Shubman. Like, the way he plays T20 cricket is too similar to Shubman
as well.
Yeah, the three of them just don't mesh especially well.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, a lot of things there. Matthew Wade, can we go down that route?
I'm 100% with you. I don't like him at number 3 in this part of his career. He has opened the batting in T20s for Hobart in the Australian domestic tournament in the past. His success for Australia in international T20 cricket, as you said, Raj, has been sort of in that finisher role in recent times. And that's what that role I'm hoping that he'll play if he plays in the T20 World Cup. That's the role I hope that he will play for Australia. So I'm not really happy from a purely selfish Australian point of view that he's up batting at number 3, because he could, I think, have more impact, as we talk about impact, at number 6 and finishing the game, you know, 20 off 12, rather than having to come in at number 3. But they've got lots of guys who can bat at 6 at the moment. Yeah. Gujarat, no number 3s.
It feels like a bit like Bob each way, doesn't it? And it's just the wrong bet. Like, you could almost understand it if they threw him at the top of the order and said, go out and open.
Yeah.
Or, like you say, about 5 or 6 when you can put the injection of a quality ingredient in at the right the right point. But yes, three.
He looked in two minds as well in that six balls to face.
It's a weird spot for him. I think to answer your question, I probably don't think they're going to have the staying power. I think you can kind of look at it two ways, right? They had a win that they didn't probably expect at the stage of that game, chased down 200. But they did it in a way where they kind of scraped over the line, didn't they? They were relying on, real late order runs from Rashid himself. There were a couple of bowling performances that were on the north side of where you would like to see them. Guys going for, 40 plus. Obviously, Rashid, got his economy rate back to where you've seen it historically in some T20 franchise cricket. But yeah, I just wonder whether they've got either the right sort of matchups and sort of game plan, as well as maybe just lacking that little bit of a little bit of cohesion, particularly with the way the batting order looks for them. I think.
Do you want me to put the mocker on them?
Go on then.
They've got an easy run coming up.
They do.
Punjab, Delhi, RCB, RCB.
Yeah, in that's the thing. I just think that the way that things have lined up for them, you can't write them off.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I completely agree with you though. I just feel like the batting, that they haven't found the right balance. And look, I do really like their bowling lineup, with Rashid Khan, Mohit Sharma, we've talked about Umesh Yadav and Noor Ahmed. That they've got a lot of, a lot of players that can contribute in the bowling side. But yeah, I think they've got to split up Sai Sudarshan and Shubman Gill, don't you think?
I think they need to decide what roles that they're playing.
Yeah.
I think they're not quite sure what roles they're playing in the side. They've both got to play, though. They're very, very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love – what is it about left-handers that look so good? I don't get it. Rajasthan, that win against Rajasthan, in the context of the tournament, how big a victory is that for when we're looking forward?
Well, yeah, I think it's nothing for Rajasthan, that loss. But, huge for Gujarat because it does keep them in this mix. And now, as you say, they look at that list of fixtures and go, well, we could probably be the favourite in all of those games. So, if we want to be a serious chance to win or to be in those playoffs, here's our chance to go 4-1, even 3-2 against in that lineup with the way this middle pack is shaping out.
And look, there's probably only three teams in the tournament that have gone on that kind of run, though, right? In terms of stringing together three victories and four victories in a row. I think it's the old cliche, isn't it? They've probably got to take it one game at a time, but they've got to probably look at that matchups list and who they've got in the next three or four games and kind of, I'm sure they'll be quietly confident and licking their lips that's a better run than potentially playing some of the teams up the top. You wouldn't want to be, coming up against CSK at the moment, for example.
Mm. Well, they don't have CSK or KKR or the Sunrisers. They've got them in their last three games. So if they need eight wins, they've got three now. They've got to get them now in the next five games. They really have to be 4-1 in the next five. They've got seven wins banked.
Yeah.
And then everything else from there is basically taking wins off the teams above them to sort themselves out on the ladder.
We talked a little bit about batting weaknesses there of Gujarat. We're going to come on to another team where, Lippy, I think your comment is, the batting is letting these guys down. It's Baldies are not quite regular.
Not quite regular Giants. They've been far from super this week, the Lucknow Super Giants. We're sitting here last week, they're at 3-1 and we're thinking, okay, Marcus Stoinis has just come off. Maybe these guys are starting to put it together. It's been a bad, bad week for them in terms of, and it has all been batting. They were beaten fairly comfortably by Delhi. Then they were just thumped overnight by KKR. And, against Delhi, they were 94 for 7 after 13 overs. Somehow did manage to kind of scrape up to 167. Ayush Badoni gets a 50 there. Good contribution from him. Against KKR, they're 111 for 5. And, they just, Puran is eventually again dragged them up to kind of 160. Yeah. But 160, we've seen, is not going to win you that many games the way that the scorecards are playing out in the IPL at the moment. So, I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that the 3-1 was more reflective of them, or is this slump kind of, the beginning of the end for LSG here?
I think 3-3 is about right for this team. I think they are where they are. Their record is their record at the moment. I think this is who they are.
I think 3-1 is more representative of this side with Mayank Yadav in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I actually think 3-3 is actually a bit generous the way they're playing currently. Mm. They're struggling to put partnerships and scoring rates up with the bat at the top of the order in both of the games they've played this week. Puttigal only played one and added to his bingo card. He's almost, he's telling he's got five of them at underneath 10 there. So he's really struggling. But, I you know, you have to be very, you have to mean it when you use the word penetration on a podcast. And this team is really struggling for penetration with the ball. Mm. They really are lacking the likes of Mayank Yadav, who made them a much different side when he was in there. I think they're actually really struggling, and they're going to struggle sort of the back end of this tournament.
Well, we've seen, I guess, the backbone of the way they've built their sides in the last couple of years has been the top of the order in terms of their batting. And like, you look at KL Rahul, obviously someone who, you know, ends up getting a bit of criticism if his strike rate's not where people want it to be. And Quinton de Kock, both of them have been prolific run scorers in this, you know, in the IPL over the years. And look, I don't really want to focus on KL. I mean, he hasn't quite put the big scores. He's again someone who I was surprised to see him 10th in the run charts when so far in the tournament. I think if you'd said to me, I mean, we talked about Phil Stoll.
Too high or too low?
Too high, I think. If you'd said to me, who's got more runs out of Phil Salt and KL Rahul, I would have absolutely, you know,
told you Salt.
Given, you know, put my house, just or maybe your house, on
Baldy's house.
Baldy's house is always good to for bets, absolutely.
On Phil Salt, but just because Salt's runs have felt impactful, and I guess KL Rahul is getting runs. He's got a couple of 50s, I think, or at least 150. He's getting starts, but he's not quite having the big impactful scores. And it probably got me more thinking actually about Quinton de Kock, because he's someone who, I think, I can't remember, maybe one of you guys said it early on in one of our power rankings conversations about David Warner and about how it might have been you actually, Raj, about the freelance, going on to freelance life might kind of extend his career and might, you know, he looks like someone who might enjoy going around the T20 circuit for a little while. What do we think about Quinton de Kock and how that's going to change his game? Because he didn't go that well at the SA T20. You know, I didn't watch a huge amount of that, but it wasn't a good tournament for him statistics-wise. And, yeah, I don't know, he feels very hit and miss at the moment.
So I did have some thoughts about that, actually. Thank you for asking. Quinton de Kock doesn't look like he's having fun.
No.
He doesn't look like he's having fun. I feel like he feels like his role is a bit diminished within this LSG lineup. He is getting subbed out.
Yeah.
He's not wicket-keeping. Mm. So I think there could be a little bit of that at play. Mm. I think he's got one score this tournament.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's got 150, hasn't he?
Yeah, two 250s. But yeah, look, I actually think that he might just be struggling to find his place and enjoy the cricket that he's playing.
Yeah, just to build on Roger's point, I think when you're a keeper, I think I don't think you get too many arguments that he's a better wicket keeper than KL Rahul. That's probably my two cents worth. But I think it does impact you, particularly when you're at the top of the order. You know that that's your role. You know that when when the guy goes out to toss the coin, you've got your box on already, and then you're just deciding which pads you're going to stick on, and that really helps, I think, when you're playing that role. So I think maybe, you know, that's an enjoyment conversation, as Raj just pointed out, and I also think as a keeper that opens the batting, you get the opportunity to see the pace of the pitch, and you get the opportunity to really understand how you might go about your work. And no surprise to me that he got his first 50 keeping wicket, and then his second 50 he got coming off the back of having kept wicket, and then he's had four games in a row where he's not kept and he's not got a run.
Talk about impact. He's got 140 runs there and wins. He's got 33 runs and losses. Mm. So for LSG to win games, they've got two really important games, home against CSK and then away against CSK. So at least the home one comes first. That's huge for them, I think, from a confidence perspective. They need Quinton de Kock to make big runs for them to get on the front foot, particularly against a good bowling unit like CSK.
I mean, it's a pivotal 2 weeks because they have Rajasthan and Mumbai after that. So Jeez. It's a pivotal 2 weeks for them.
Yeah. Talk about tough draw.
Should we come on to Mumbai?
We should. So we're in at seven. Raj, I'm hoping at some point you're just going to jump in with your turquoise cap winner.
Oh, yes, I will.
Because I feel there are a number of candidates from this side.
What's the turquoise cap again?
The most aesthetically pleasing six.
Right.
The Raj Reddy Award.
Raj, it's currently with Rahane from Grade 6 off Patrick Cummins.
Right.
Well, the Mumbai Indians, they have had a week for aesthetically pleasing sixes, I tell you what. And they were a side that up until last night were, you know, seemingly moving well up these charts in terms of their power rankings and the way that they were kind of coming into this tournament. They absolutely thumped RCB. Their batting was starting to hum. But last night, their bowling it was that took a hammering against CSK. You know, you guys mentioned it before, despite 100 from Rohit, despite the fact that their batting still seems like it's, you know, doing reasonably well. And, you know, they were 70 for none in that game. They were tracking really, really nicely. I just think I'm actually staggered by how bad their bowling is because you've got Jasprit Bumrah, who is unbelievable. Like, he is seriously watching these games and watching this tournament. You know, the RCB game struck me the most because RCB's bowling has been so terrible. And Jasprit obviously got 5 in that game. But I think you can watch him on a day where he gets 5 and you can watch him on a day where he gets none. And you're still kind of amazed by how well he bowls and how much better he is than every other bowler on the field. And that RCB game was just the example of that. If he's going so well, how on earth, like, I just don't know how.
It is the old Richard Hadley from one end and Ilford Seconds from the other end, isn't it? Like it feels a little bit like that.
I just don't know. I just don't know what's going on because I really, you know, at the start of this tournament, obviously we had pretty high hopes for Mumbai. A lot of us on here picked them either to win or at least all to kind of make the semifinals. I just don't think they can do it if their bowling's not going to improve because these sides are just packed with power. All these other teams that we just talked about, you know, most of them, if you don't bowl well, they're gonna hit you for 200. And there's only so many times that Rohit Sharma and Ishan Kishan and all these other guys, Sky, you know, there's only so many times that they can chase down 200 and you know 12 overs or whatever they did it against RCB. You know, that they actually have to improve this bowling lineup. And you look through that lineup, and I don't know how they're gonna do it.
I guess the other way to look at it is that they're at the bottom in terms of how they are bowling. All they need to do is improve that. All Mumbai need to do from here is to actually make the top four. It doesn't matter where they come in their top four. They just have to make it and they can beat anyone from any position. I don't know. I don't have the answers for the bowling that you're talking about, but they are really, really struggling because Jasprit Bumrah really is a cheat code. He just cannot be scored off. He takes wickets. It'll be interesting to, you know, I posed a question, why is he so good? Actually unpack that when we've got a bit more time. What makes him so good? But the batting, if I can move away from the bowling slightly, I think that was the runs they scored against RCB was them really putting a marker down. Kishan, Sharma and Sky were incredible in that chase. They just made batting look so easy. There has been a new turquoise cap that will be awarded. So Rohit Sharma in the match overnight was very much in the running for it. He did some great things.
That one short one that went miles into the stands, that was pretty nice.
And also your friend Shivam Dubey was also in the running. Yeah. He had some good sixes this week as well. But it is going to Sky for the first six that he hit off Akash Deep.
The hand speed is just unreal, isn't it?
The reason he got it was because it was actually not that bad a ball, and he fetched it from outside off stump and put it well up into the stands over 45 on the leg side. It was an incredible shot. But this is just what he can do. When he gets in and doesn't score zero, which he seems to be doing, he's just so devastating if he gets going. He can turn any match around.
I tell you what, actually, you mentioned the zero. I genuinely think that catch that Mustafizur took to get him for that zero in the CSK game, I think that was a match winning catch, that was an amazing catch. You know, Sky's flying off Patirana,
almost six.
It was going for six. Mustafizur, you know, takes that catch, loses his balance, you know, throws it up. That was a remarkable catch, and with the way that Sky was hitting it, you know, this could be a very different podcast in terms of the rankings if he doesn't grab hold of that and hang on to it. So, you know, props to him.
I'm going to say something a little bit controversial, I think. Certainly, I think some of our viewers might comment on this. But there's also a little bit of an audition going on for the T20 World Cup, isn't there, with Ishan Kishan, with Sky, who's been like, no, don't get me wrong, he had a fantastic yeah, fantastic sort of burst onto the international scene, but he's gone a little bit sort of rocks and diamonds of late with a lot of ducks in there. I just wonder whether there might be a little bit of a distraction with two or three of their guys thinking about whether or not they're in that World Cup squad as well. And look, I'm not saying it's necessarily affected performances, but there's so much media hype around Mumbai that, you know, they've talked a lot about how they, you know, try and stay out of that bubble, but it's got to be really difficult to do in obviously a pretty, it's a pretty decent sized city, isn't it, Mumbai? So there's a little bit of pressure going in and around town. So just, I wonder whether there is some external factors in that camp affecting the way that they might go about on the, on the field as well.
They've got to be feeling a lot of pressure now
from the owners as well.
2-4 now, I think.
Two and four.
And Bully, who have they got next? Because they've got to turn it on right now.
They do. They've got Punjab next. Then they've got Rajasthan. They seem to play top team, middle team, top team, middle team from here on out. But if they're going to win 8 games, they're going to have to beat, in my view, they've got KKR twice and they've got Rajasthan and they've got the Sunrisers.
They've got to win two of those.
And they've got LSG twice. So they're going to have to beat teams that are currently sitting inside the top five. They're going to have to go better than 50-50 against those teams to get themselves into the finals. There are no easy games here on out for Mumbai if they want to get to 8 wins.
Well, 50-50 against those guys and not slip up against
they cannot,
the others.
Yeah, they cannot slip up from here on in.
Yeah.
But before we finish on Mumbai, do we want to say anything about Rohit's 100? Very, very, I thought it was a very, very impressive 100. And the other thing I did want to ask you as well, Hardik Pandya's 6 to win the game against the RCB, that must have been very close to the turquoise cap.
Definitely, and I love a good 6 over the offside. Very
full,
hard to
full
do.
Ball hits it over point for 6.
He smoked it, but it wasn't aesthetically pleasing as a few of the others. But
okay.
It was a pleasing sort of shot. Rohit Sharma's 100, I think that his 100 kept made Mumbai look respectable in that game against CSK.
Okay.
I think that he didn't get much support from those sort of bigger stars that he needed to. Great tempo. We always talk about tempo with the hundreds. He was right on what we think should be a good tempo for 100. But yeah, he needed someone going at the other end sort of for those last 5 or 6 overs, someone going with him to get close. But it was a great 100 nonetheless.
So we've got 3 teams left to go. I think last week we drew a line through 2 teams, didn't we?
Yeah, and one of the sides that we drew a line through has moved up to number 8, Delhi. So that again, look, they only played 1 game
in the Lipshore Index, we should say.
In the Lipshore Index, yeah. Well, they moved up on the ladder as well with a nice win against Lucknow. And look, I did write off their chances last week. I still think that with probably the inconsistency that they're playing with Mitchell Marsh out. And, you know, a few other things, the fact that they're you know, behind the 8 ball at the moment, I don't feel like they're a side that can go on a big winning run. But I do think that they, out of all the teams in the bottom half of the ladder, I really feel like this is the side that you don't want to be playing in a one-off game. They feel to me like they have a lot of match winners with ball and with bat. And, yeah, I just wouldn't want to be playing them if I was a side in the top of the table going, okay, well, I kind of got Delhi marked down as my 2 points. I'm getting nodding over here, Raj. You agree?
100% right. They're a team you do not want to come up. They've got come up against in the sort of closing stages of this IPL and needing to win. They were really good from a, you know, inputs in this week. I think Kuldeep, described him as a magnet that brought all the parts of DC's bowling together, a bowling attack together in his bowling innings. A massive player in that particular innings. I'm looking forward to seeing him have more impact with the ball. And did you use the term banana skin? They are a banana skin.
I think so.
Especially Jack Fraser-McGurk.
He looked
really good, and I actually feel a little bit bad. Someone can probably pick up on this for me, but he actually made me really stand up and pay attention. I did not think he was capable of the batting that he displayed in that innings from what I've seen in the Big Bash. Very different, very, very good, very destructive. Mm. I almost say that the innings was better than anything we've seen from Mitchell Stark in this Mitchell Marsh in this tournament
In this tournament, yes. Yeah. He came onto the scene in a couple of games down under in Australia against the West Indies and gave them a bit of a touch-up. He can be very explosive. I think he holds the record for the fastest domestic ODI
100, isn't it? Yeah,
ODI 100.
Was it called Marsh Cup?
The Australian domestic one-day 50-over tournament holds the record for fastest 100 in there. So it can be destructive. The reason I think you don't want to play Delhi going forward is their spinners are coming good.
Yeah.
And if spinners going to play a part, you don't want to be having to score runs off the 8 overs that Akshar and Kuldeep are going to bowl at you because they could take 7 wickets.
How fun was that, Paul De Pura? These stumps that are the light up stumps, I'm just loving. We go back to CSK, the Patidana cleaning up Rovman Powell. I think we talked last week about, you know, how I just love when the stumps go flying in general, but the fact that they go flying, the lights just go everywhere, and it's serious fun for anyone who enjoys you know, like me, who's a bowler and enjoys the stumps getting rattled.
From a betting perspective, I do have a question here about Rishabh Pant, but from a betting perspective, the guys, you know, Warner, Prithvi Shaw, who we just talked about, Jake Fraser-McGurk, Tristan Stubbs is the one I want to point out, that all of these guys have the ability to turn a match on its head from any point of a game. So you definitely don't want to be up against them when you need to win. My question is about Rishabh Pant. Have the panel here seen enough from Rishabh Pant to buy him a plane ticket to the West Indies in America?
I reckon it's sort of in books, mate.
Yeah, it would be in my book. I've been super impressed.
I think big green button that I can smash. Other podcasts have the green red buttons, the cool not cool. I want a big green button to say here he should be on the plane.
And the fact he's kept wicket as well.
I think he kept quite well.
I think that's big because he could have taken the, well, I'll just bat and, you know, someone else can take the gloves. I think he's put down a hell of a marker. For a side that's obviously struggled throughout the course of the tournament, he's been a bit of a beacon for them, hasn't he?
Oh, I think I've been saying it every week. He looks better every week, and I think he's continuing to do that. That's pretty scary if he's going to, you know, he's starting to bat now with some real confidence. He's got his scoops going, and he's got his power. If he's going to do that and get better and better every week up until this T20 World Cup, then that's terrifying for everyone else who's not an India fan.
Where are we going next? Are we with the rankings or are we with the index?
Well, we're with the Punjab Kings, who, you know, I think that obviously leaves the team in last, and I think they're going to be stuck rock bottom for a little while unless they start to turn things around. But Punjab, before we get to this other side, they're 2-4 now. They lost both matches this week, both final overs. That's all they play now is final over thrillers, I guess. But they were both games that I don't think they ever really should have been in. And you know, again, I think I said a few weeks ago, you could be glass half full with this side and you could think that they're going okay because they're hanging in there in these games. They're finding a way to kind of win a couple of games. I'm starting to take the point or to take the opposite view that they're just not in these games and they just don't have enough match winners. You know, we saw, you know, Shashank came in and won them a game. There are players obviously that can do that. There are, you know, this is a high quality tournament in terms of players. People can win your tournaments, but I just don't think that they have the class. And, you know, I mean, I think that Raj's comments last week, the real talk, it's looking pretty solid now. They made you look very good this week.
Oh, they did look. But the Punjab Kings, I think that they're doing a lot of things to themselves. You know how we talked about Rajasthan struggling? In the first game of the week against the Sunrisers, they let the Sunrisers get to that total of 182 or whatever it was. They dropped Nitish Reddy on the 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
They in the last over, they parried a couple over for 6, I think. It was not great. They're doing a lot of things to themselves, which I think that they could be doing better. And then it's actually quite deceptive. You talk about them being a last over team, but they shouldn't even be in these games.
No.
And, you know, an Adcat bowled, I think they scored 27 off the last over and they did 29 to win. They only lost by 2, but really, they should never have come anywhere even close to it. No. It was Ashutosh is doing a great job. He is scoring a lot of runs and getting them very close.
Somehow he's managed to convince every single player on the field to drop him every time the ball goes up in the air.
But he's hitting the ball a long way as well. It's going. And Rabada, after me calling their bowling quite toothless, I thought he was very good this week, especially in the last game. He bowled really, really well.
I thought that was actually something tactically they did really well, actually, in the last game. They brought him in to pick up wickets in kind of the 11, 14, you know, in sort of that range. They bowled him for a couple of overs to pick up wickets. And I'd like to see more teams do that with their with their quick bowlers instead of saving them for the end. You know, someone like Trent Bolt, for example, for Rajasthan, that's how I would rather see him bowl like the 14th over than the 20th.
Yeah, and yeah, 100%. Where they bowl is very, very important. Ashdeep Singh was the other one. He bowled a lot up front. This week he actually got the water swing when he when he pitched it up, and he bowled a hard length as well.
Yeah, I really like him, and I like the fact that Rabada's probably found a little bit of form. He's he's struggled, hasn't he, last probably year or so? I know he's had a bit of injury, but I think one of the the big factors for Punjab is Bairstow's really just not got going at the top of the order. Livingston's been, you'd say sort
weird,
of,
they used him in a weird way in this game, Livingston.
Yeah, almost a, kind of anonymous to a certain extent. So, they really haven't come out of the gates, have they? It'd be interesting. I want to know who we're putting a line through, because we've got a lot of teams sitting at that four points, haven't we?
I'd be putting a line through these guys now. Yeah. And I wanted to follow up on your Bairstow point, because where do you think, like, we talked a little bit about this when we talked about the Test series, where do you think the next couple of years of his career go, or where does his career kind of go from here? Because a lot of people in that end of that Test series were saying Bairstow's played his 100th Test, that's going to be his final Test. I don't know that we necessarily agreed as a panel that would be the case. But yeah, where do you think he's going to go in terms of how his career? Because I think he's 34, coming up 35.
Look, he's not super old, but he's played a lot of cricket, as you do when if you get onto the England scene in your early 20s. You look at someone like Alistair Cook or Joe Root. You wouldn't pick that Joe Root's only 33, would you?
You think
he's right at the very end of his, his career. And Bairstow a little bit similar. The biggest thing is really whether or not they see him keeping wicket. If they do decide that in English conditions they're going to go with a keeper that can that bat at six or seven and leave folks out, then I think Bairstow probably goes round again for the English summer. But if he doesn't, you certainly can't see him playing red ball cricket again. And then he's going to have to go to these franchise tournaments and continually score runs to get picked up in auctions and whatnot. I'm sure he'll do well in the CPL and the PSL and maybe the Big Bash. He needs to put himself in the shop window for next year, doesn't he? With the last
With guys like Phil Salt,
other
keeping options.
There's a question mark as to whether or not he might even get in that T20 England World Cup squad with the way that Salt's going as well.
Yeah. Should we move on to the last team?
Yeah. Who is it?
Rock bottom again is RCB, and rock bottom is about where their bowling attack is at the moment. They are an absolute mess, to the point where Faf du Plessis even seems to have completely lost confidence in what they are doing. After they batted first in the game against Mumbai, they scored nearly 200. And normally in a game like that, if it's going to be a blowout, it means that they've won by the team batting first that almost scores 100 has won by 40 or 50 runs. They got absolutely demolished in that game. And, Faf at the end of it saying, it feels like we're always on the back foot after four overs of our bowling. It feels like we've got to score 220 to win any of these games. I mean, when you've got him saying that in a press conference in the kind of environment where normally everybody backs each other and kind of leaves all of that stuff in the dressing room, it's pretty dire stuff. If we talked last week, what do they do? I genuinely don't know. They're going to have to. They're almost at the point, I think, where they have to pick two overseas bowlers and just say, "Look, Faf and Virat, you're going to have to win us the game with the bat." Because this game, they got a contribution from Faf. They got runs from Rajat Patidar. Finally, showed us what he can do. Scores 50 from 26 balls. A great finish from DK. Like, that's the perfect blueprint for them winning a game, and they got absolutely annihilated.
And they had the option to do that with bringing Will Jackson to the side. They could have brought an extra bowler, but they didn't. An extra fast bowler. Or they didn't do that at all. If you look at the scorecard, this doesn't look like that bad a loss. 196, they got it. The thing that really puts you off is they got it in how many overs?
They just
got absolutely smoked. Siraj, really struggling with form this year. That's the big difference from last year. They were in games because Siraj was taking wickets. He's not taking any at all this year. And Glenn Maxwell, I know we ride the Aussies a little bit on this podcast, but he really is rocks or diamonds, and he is living in a stone quarry at the moment.
Wow.
It is all rocks from him. But, you know, he is not the reason they are losing games, but he's not contributing either.
I think he is, to a certain extent, one of the reasons that they're losing games, in that over or under, he should be winning 2.5 to 3 games by himself. He hasn't looked like doing that with the bat, certainly. And coming off the back of his World Cup, where he was just so incredible, I think the expectations from certainly outside of the Australian setup were that he would go and continue to do that, and he hasn't. Cameron Green, off the back of his season for Mumbai last year, where he scored that brilliant 100, and he's done so well.
$1 million contract.
Scored 170 in the Test match. He hasn't come in and performed to the expectations that he would have placed on himself, and I think a lot of RCB fans would have placed on them as well. So, you know, we do ride the Australians a little bit on this podcast, but in those two sets of circumstances, those players haven't delivered a match-winning performance yet for their team, and their team is struggling.
Glenn Maxwell, he's now tied record for the most ducks in the IPL with 17, and he has it in 126 innings. The two people he's tied with, one is DK, who's had 226 innings, and Rohit, who's had 243. So that is an enormous gap for Maxwell to be. Wow.
You take his 28 out, he's got as many wickets as he's got runs across 6 games.
It's pretty dire.
Like you say, he's in a quarry. And we talked about it earlier, in that, you know, we thought that they needed to do something with the bowling, and there was a little bit of promise, and Rhys Topley came in and bowled quite well in that first game, but then, you know, Siraj is kind of, you know, not on the boil or gone off the boil.
What do they do with Siraj, do you think? I mean, to Binksy's point last week, do they rest his neck from looking up into the stands and give him a bit of time on the sideline? Because his confidence must be super low.
I think if they think they're out of the tournament, I think the time they don't choose him is when they've given up on winning. They need to play him because of the sort of structure they have with their overseas players.
Yeah.
He needs to play. But, I mean, a bowling effort is not just focused on that power play. I know we've talked about the need to take wickets, but they need to take wickets because there's just nothing through the middle. They're not taking wickets, not stopping runs through the middle at all. And by the time they go through the middle and get to the end, the game's gone. It doesn't even get to the later stage of the innings.
And it's just full tosses and half track. Like, it is genuinely terrible bowling for some of the stuff. So, yeah, good. Right, you know, send us something in the comments if you think you can solve this RCB situation, because it's pretty dire. And I, you know, I honestly think the only way it's solved is, I mean, we were critical, I think, of their auction, how they've kind of built this side. People have been critical of that. Not the only ones. People have been critical of that for a few years now, in terms of the way they kind of, you know, top heavy in terms of their batting and not, you know, not reinforcing this bowling lineup. But they did get Alzari Joseph, and he's someone who just hasn't been able to contribute either. So it's a real struggle for them.
With the end of the Lipshaw Index for another week, next week we'll mark just after the halfway point in the tournament. So we will go through power rankings again roughly this time next week. And I think at that stage, we'll have a bit of a reforecast as they do at the half year point, and your sales figures aren't going quite where you need them to go. So we'll have a look at whether or not we think Mumbai can get themselves into that final four, and maybe re-pick our predictions. They don't count as your real predictions, but you can have a second.
You can have a mulligan.
Okay.
Second crack next week on the power rankings.
I'm going to have a very, very unfortunate week with the spreadsheets this week, because I think the two teams that I previewed were Mumbai and Delhi. So I think I'm going to get a bit of scrutiny in the sales call next week.
Yeah, well, just make sure you've got all of your figures.
Yep.
Yeah, come prepared.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Okay.
All right.
My hygiene's going to be good this week in terms of my preparation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm in trouble.
Good eye. Well, look, been good talking some IPL games, obviously coming thick and fast. Who have we got tonight? RCB Sunrisers, I think, is tonight.
Yep.
So, that'll be in the can by the time this probably hits your podcast feed. But we will be back in the feed a little bit later in the week as well. So it's Monday New Zealand time here as we record this. This should be out sometime on Tuesday. And then we'll record again Thursday and have something out towards the weekend. And then back for the power rankings Monday. New Zealand time next week. But for now, it is good night and God bless from us all here on the Top Order Podcast. We'll see you very, very soon. See you later.